Okay, we're starting here with the Mishnah on Lamed Tet Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says, "Hagachelet k'ragle ha'bealim v'shalhevet b'chol makom." A coal has a din like the balim because it has mamashut; it is tangible item, and therefore it takes on the tchum of the balim. On the other hand, shalhevet, the flame itself, has no lockdown. So that means that whoever has the flame can move wherever they want with it. Now here, really the truth is that it's not the flame itself, but it's if you transfer the flame. If you get a flame from your friend, the flame that you have is not governed by the tchum of the source of the flame, and you can move it wherever you want, meaning that it becomes like your tchum. Kachelet shel hekdesh, ma'alim ba. A coal of hekdesh, you can have mi'ila, because again, it's a tangible item, and therefore if you get enough from it, it's asur mi de'oraita. V'shalhevet, on the other hand, a flame, lo nehenin velo moalin. You can't get hana from it mi derabanan, velo moalin ba mi deoraita. Meaning that there's an isur derabanan to get hana from it, atu gichalim, but otherwise there is no isur deoraita of mi ila. Hamotzi gachelet de reshut rabim, chayav. On Shabbat, if you carry a coal from the reshut yachid to the reshut rabim, you're chayav for carrying. Whereas vashalhevet, patur. Comes to vashalhevet, you are patur. There are five things that we know about a gachelet. A gachelet karagleya bealim. Gachelet has a din of tchum like the owners. V'shalhevet b'chol makom. And again, like our Mishnah, the shalhevet can go anywhere, meaning that it goes with the tchum of whoever is carrying the shalhevet at that point in time. Gachelet shalhevdesh mo'alim ba. Again, this is a tosefta, so it's going to have a repeat of the number of the things in our Mishnah plus additional items. So gechelet shel hekdesh mo'alim ba. Again, there's mi'ilah with regards to a coal. V'shalhevet lo ne'enin v'lo mo'alin. But with regards to a flame, it's only asur mi'derabanan. Gechelet shel avodah zarah. So here's a new item. Gechelet avodah zarah is asura. The coal of avodah zarah is asura because of the pasuk lo yidbak b'yodchom mi'umah min acherim. That anything that has to do with avodah zarah is asur v'anah. V'shalhevet mutaret. Whereas the flame, since it has no mamashut, it's intangible. It's not a problem with regards to avodah zarah. Hamotzi gachelet reshut rabim chayav, similar to our Mishnah. V'shalhevet patur. And again, the shalhevet's patur, which the Gemara will discuss in 1 second. Hamudar hana mechaveiro, person who is asur ba'ana, because he took a neder not to get enough from his friend. Asur b'girchalto, he cannot borrow or utilize his coals. Umutar b'shalhevto, he can use his flame. Maishna shalhevet avodah zarah disharia. Why is the shalhevet avodah zarah mutar the gamre? Maishna de hekdesh de asira. You look, by the gachelet of hekdesh, it's a problem of mi'ila. The gachelet of avodah zarah is asur. So now, if I come to shalhevet, by hekdesh, we have an isur de rabbanan, so that you don't come to utilize the gachelet. We say, don't use the shalhevet of hekdesh. On the other hand, by avodah zarah, we say mutar legamrei when it comes to a shalhevet. How come over there we don't make a restriction so you don't come to use the gachelet of avodah zarah? Gemara says avodah zarah demi'isa ubedile in sheminoah. Since avodah zarah, people are disgusted by it; they distance themselves from it. Lo gazru rabbanan. There's a natural repugnance, repulsion to the avodah zarah, so therefore they don't get involved with it at all. So we don't have to worry about it. But a hekdesh where people are not repulsed by it, they are not separated so much from it, gazru bei rabbanan. Therefore, the rabbanan put in place a gzeira for shalhevet. Now that's interesting because of the Gemara in Pesachim. Gemara in Pesachim says with regards to chametz, when it comes to chametz, if you have the goy's chametz in your house, you have to cover it over. You have to put something, a barrier, mechitza, to separate between you and the chametz. Where there says if it's hekdesh, you don't have to do that because bedile in shemine. People stay away from hekdesh. They don't get involved with hekdesh. So both Rashi and Tosafot say there is a relative hierarchy here. If you're talking about avodah zarah, people stay way away from that, far away from that. If you're talking about chulin, people are engaged in that. Hekdesh sits somewhere in between. Relative to chulin, people are bedile in hekdesh. They separate themselves from hekdesh. Relative to avodah zarah, they're not so distant from hekdesh. So there's a hierarchy, avodah zarah, hekdesh, and then chulin. So the Gemara in Pesachim is talking about the relationship between chulin and hekdesh. And our Gemara is talking about the relationship between avodah zarah and hekdesh. There's also one other thing here. If you look in the Masorah Shas, he brings down an additional item from the Tosefta that's not mentioned here in the Gemara, which is Mivarchim ala shalhevet ve'in mivarchim ala gechelet. You make a bracha on a flame. You do not make a bracha on a gechelet. Borei morei aish. You have to have a flame in order to make that bracha. A gechelet does not suffice in terms of borei morei aish. Another distinction between a coal and a fire here in favor of the shalhevet side of it versus the gechelet side. The ones that we brought, the tosefta what we brought, everything was in favor of the gechelet being something of substance, whereas the shalhevet is not. And now the Gemara continues, Amotzi, gechelet, rushut rabim chayav, the shalhevet patur, v'atanya, don't have a brayta, Amotzi shalhevet kol shu chayav, take out a flame into rushut rabim, you are chayav. So Amar Rav Sheshet, so Fred, here's the explanation of what happened, kagon shotzio b'kesam, that he took out on a toothpick, he took it out on a splinter. So now he's carrying out the splinter with a flame on it. So Gemara says, v'tepikle mishum kesam. So what about the splinter itself? He's carrying the wood that's holding the flame, so why is that a problem? But delay a shi'ura. The wood that he has the flame on does not have the requisite shi'ur to be chayav for carrying on a Shabbat. It's non. Mishnah and Shabbat. What is the requisite shi'ur for carrying wood on Shabbat? A motzi etzim, someone who takes out wood. Kedei levashel beitza kala. Has been enough wood to start a fire that would cook a light egg. There the Gemara explains to us that's a chicken egg on a frying pan that's scrambled so that it cooks quickly. So that's the amount of wood that you have to carry out. You haven't reached that minimum shi'ur. So what Rav Sheshet suggests is that when the flame is independent, then you're not chayav for carrying. When the flame is attached to something, then it is a problem of carrying the flame because now the flame has certain amount of substance to it because it's attached to an object that's fueling the flame, and then it'll be problematic. So Rav Sheshet's suggestion is that when it's attached to a physical object, you are chayav, and the object has less than the requisite shiur, then you're chayav for carrying the flame. Otherwise, you are not chayav for the flame. The otherwise we'll have to explain in the Gemara. Vayamar, kigon deshaife mano mishcha, that you plastered or basted a plate full of oil, and then you lit it on fire. The actual fire is not being carried by anything, it's being fueled, but on top of the plate, by the fire of the shemen there. But typically, mishum mono, what about the plate itself, or the bowl, whatever you put it into, that's going to be chayav for carrying that. Bechaspo, Gemara says, we're using a piece of pottery, a shard of pottery. Gemara says, but typically, mishum chaspo. So what about the fact that you took out a shard of pottery? That's also chayav when you take it out. Again, but delayt le shiura. You didn't meet the requisite shiur. Tetnan cheres, kidei litain bab, ben patsim lechaviro. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, a shard of pottery is a spacer. That's the amount that you're chayav for on Shabbat. Is if you use it as a spacer, there the Gemara describes when you have like large number of boards that are stacked up to use for binyan. They don't sit the boards one on top of each other. They put spacers between them to let air and to allow them to sit independently. Or as Rashi describes over here, it's very interesting when you put in a window. Rashi says that don't always get it level. And that's still today. When they put it in, they have to put spacers in to get the window level with the wall. So that's those are where the patsim are. Patsim are these spacers, that little wedges. Today they use wood, then they used cheres in order to use them as spacers. So that's the amount you have to carry. You're not at that requisite shiur. So it's not a motzi shalavet patur hecha mishkachada. So now the Gemara says, that's what you said, that you take out of shalavet, did you patur? What's the case of patur? What all of you are asking is, okay, they told us the case where you're chayav. The case where you're chayav is either according to Rav Sheshet when you have it on top of an object, it's lit on an object, or according to Abaye where you lit it inside of a bowl. Now, Abaye says that a kesam does not count because of what Shaul said before, which is that it just burns out too fast. The equivalent of a match, you only have a couple seconds there, so it's a shehev, it's not really going to last. And therefore, he didn't give that answer. Or, Rashi says the other chiddush is that a few chaspa al manami, sheinu nechazerik kol kach chashiv v'chutza. Even though the flame is separate from the cheres, I mean, the flame is burning on top of the cheres, it's not burning the cheres itself, nevertheless, you're chayav for carrying it. That's the chiddush of Abaye. But the Gemara wants to know, where's the case that you're patur? So the Gemara says, kigon da'aje aduye l'rishut rabim. You blew it or pushed it into the rishut rabim. So the answer to the Gemara is, that da'aje aduye l'rishut rabim. He blows it out to the rishut rabim. He somehow moves the flame, causes the flame to jump, out into the Rishut Rabim. So there's a flame there. He blows on the flame jumps into the Rishut Rabim. So in that case, you're not chayav because you simply move the flame detached from any object. And so that's when you move a flame without anything attached to it. There you're going to be patur, even if that happens on the edge of Rishut Yachid going into the Rishut Rabim. All right, but this is the Gemara's suggestion is that it was bellowed the flame, fanned the flame, and it jumped into Rishut Rabim, or vice versa, jumped into Rishut Yachid. That's the case where you're patur, where it doesn't affect you because the flame moved independently of any object. Otherwise, the case of a bayer of sheshet where it moves with an object, that's the cases where you are chayav. That's what the Braita meant, that you're chayav from motzi shel hevet. Koshu is chayav. All right, next Mishnah. Bor shel yachid, a cistern that belongs to an individual, karaglea yachid. Then the water in the cistern has the same din as the owner, and you can only move it as far as the owner can go. Shelan sheo ta'ir, the cisterns, the water of that city, karaglea sheo ta'ir. Then the water can be go as far as the people in the city could go, assuming that even though there might be people who make eruvin and do other things, but the city itself, people who reside in the city generally have a tchum, that is, the whole city is considered to be arba amot, plus ibura shel ir, that's all included in the dalet amot, and then you count 2,000 amot in every direction from there. So that's the amount of distance that you can move it. Shel olei bavel. Now these are public cisterns. These were done for people traveling up to Yerushalayim to come for the regel. These completely public cisterns, Kraglei Amimalei, they have a din like the person who fills from them because they are independent, completely independent of any ownership. And again, we'll see why that is. Ramilei Rovo the Rav Nachman. Rovo asked Rav Nachman, Tznan, our Mishnah says, Bor Shu Yachid Kraglei Yachid, that a private cistern has a din like the owners. Viriminhu. Arot Hamushchim, rivers that are flowing, Umayanot anovim, springs that are emerging, arihain karaglei kol adam. They are like the individuals who fill them. Rashi actually says that karaglei kol adam means they have no tchum, that they're not governed by tchum whatsoever. You could read it, arihain karaglei kol adam means that they have a din like whoever fills them, although it's a different terminology than we've seen before, not like raglei amimalei, but raglei kol adam. So now you see a problem here, because in one case we're saying that it's governed by the ownership. The other case, we're saying that it has no tchum. Amar Rabo, hachamayaskinan, what's the case here? Bimikunasim. So that they are gathered together, they are locked down in place. Vitmar Nami, we have another member of the Amoraim, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amashmum, bimikunasim. That we're talking about there, they're gathered together. So as Rashi explains over here, anything that moves, chomide denayid, leitle shvita. Anything that's in motion, can never require shvita. Since it doesn't require shvita, it doesn't have a tchum. So by mayanot anovim and the narot moshchim, rivers that are flowing and springs that are bubbling up and emerging, they are in motion. Since they are in motion, they're not kone shvita. And that's why the Braita says, Hare hein karaglei kol adam. They have no shvita, so therefore they're detached from shvita. They don't have an issue of tchum whatsoever. So therefore, the answer of the Gemara has been mikunasim. When you have water that's stationary, that's gathered in a point, then that is koneshvita, and then it's kiraglea be'alim, then it's like the owners. So the difference between the bor shel yachid versus the narot moshchim mayanot anovim is that one has water in motion, the other one has stationary water. Stationary water is koneshvita. The water in movement is not koneshvita, and that's why it says, harehei kiraglei kol adam. Right. Rashi makes it sound like not. Harei karaglei kol adam ein lem shum shvita lo bimkomam v'lo karaglei abalim v'lo karaglei amimalei. Elo kol adam olicham beraglav d'chom idi denayi d'lo kana shvita. Rashi seems to say that they are completely independent. Right. It's not like the tchum whatsoever. It's interesting. Could have argued like you that once you've taken it, then it is. I think Rashi didn't say that because it doesn't say harei hein karaglei amimalei, but rather harei karaglei kol adam, which seems to indicate that they are free of any shvita whatsoever. Right, Mishol Olei Bavel, Karaglei Amimalei. Let's take us through most of the rest of the daf here, which is the Olei Bavel, those wells or cisterns, when you fill from them, then whoever takes them, they are the one who determines the shvita of the water. So Itmar, Milei V'natan L'chaviro. He fills it up and then gives it to his friend. Nachman Amar, Karaglei Mishnit Malo Lo. Rav Sheshet Amar, Karaglei Amimalei. like the one who filled it. So Reuven asked Shimon to fill him some water, to draw some water for him from Olei Bavel. So Rav Nachman says, then Reuven is the one requesting the water. The water has the tchum of Reuven, even though Shimon physically is the one who drew the water. Now then, Rav Sheshet said, whoever draws the water is the determinant of where the Shvita is, or what the tchum is of this item. So Rav Maika Miflegei, what are they arguing about? Mar Savar Beira Dehef Beirahu, the boar has a din of Hefker. Mar Savar Beira Deshutfehu, that the boar is a din of Shutafin. Question is, how do you look at a boar of Olei Bavel? When you come to Otair, that city, we said that everybody in the city is a partner in the boar. Since everyone's a partner in the boar, therefore it has a tchum of the people of that city. And when you draw it, doesn't matter what you did or who drew the water, because that's the partnership. The partnership is the city partnership. So the question is, by Olei Bavel, how do we look at that water? Do we say that everyone, all Bnei Israel, are partners in that well or that cistern? Or do we say that Hefker the Gamrei? It's open, unowned water. That's the difference. Rav Sheshet holds that it's Hefker. It's completely Hefker. So now, as soon as you are Magbia the item, Magbia Metzia the Chaveiro, if you try to pick up a Hefker object for your friend, Lo Kana Chaveiro, your friend is not Koneit, and you are Koneit. The one who is the Mimalei is Koneit, and therefore the Tchum will be determined by the person who is filling it. On the other hand, Rav Nachman says that this is a boar of Shutafim, and basically what you're saying is, we have Breira. When Shimon drew the water for Reuven, he pulled out Reuven's water, because there's Breira. And since Reuven is a Shutaf, is a partner in this well, because we're all partners in this well, therefore he took out Reuven's water, and that's why he has a din like Reuven, because he got his own water, and that's why Tchum is determined by Reuven, not by Shimon, who drew the water. Eitvei Rova Rav Nachman. So Rava's challenge is Rav Nachman's understanding here. Rav Nachman was understanding that this is a boar shell Shutafim. Hareini Alecha Cherim Hamudar Asur. The person who says that all my possessions are cherim for you, the mudar, the person who he's speaking about, the subject of his sentence, cannot get any benefit from him anymore. He basically restricted another party, a second individual, from coming and benefiting from his property, which he's allowed to do. He owns the property. The other hand, he says, Hare ata alai cherim. If he says, you are a cherim to me, Hanoder asur, the one who took the neder is asur, he just now restricted himself in benefiting for the other person's property. So Rini Alecha Vadalai, he says, I am on you, you are to me, Shneem Asurim Zebazed. Then he just restricted himself in the other person's property and the other person in his property. Umotarim Bicholoi Bavel. They can drink water from these cisterns, these public cisterns, but Surim Bicholotair, but they cannot drink from the water of that city. So now, ve'eluhein devarim shel Olei Bavel. What are things that are Olei Bavel? Harabayit, v'alishkot. Those are completely public property. The Temple Mount, the Lishkot, v'hazarot, bor shel emtzaderech, or a cistern that's put in there specifically for people who are traveling in the middle of the way. Eluhein shel Toayir. What belongs to the city? Harachov, the street, Beit HaKnesset, the shul, the public shul, Beit HaMerchatz, the public bathhouse. So all of these items are restricted because in the more narrow sense of Oto Ayir, they are partners. They are joint owners of these property. So if he said that I'm not going to get enough from that individual, then he can't utilize anything that's in the city, because if they live in the city, then that person is a joint owner of the item. On the other hand, when it comes to Olei Bavel, he can participate or can use it because, well, the because is because they're not partners there. It's Hefker. So that's against Rav Nachman's position. It's clearly saying that those items that are Olei Bavel or Hefker have no ownership or no joint ownership, whereas when it comes to the items of the city, they are joint ownership. And now we go against Rav Nachman's position here that the Beira, the Olei Bavel, is a din in Shutafim, not a din in Hefkera. So that's what the Gemara says here. V'amart Beira de Shutfehu. You say that that cistern, that well, is a partnership. Amai mutar. Why are you mutar? Vatnan, don't we have a Mishnah? Ashutafim, shinadru, hana'a, zemizeh. Shutafim who take a neder hana'a from each other, asurim likanes lechatzer. They can't enter each other's courtyards. It's the joint courtyard, but they can't enter it because of that joint ownership. So joint ownership would restrict you. The fact that the Mishnah that we brought before, it says that you're not restricted. That indicates that it's not of a partnership. So the Gemara's answer is this. V'chotz babor halchanami. If you wanted to jump into the cistern and take a bath, you're right. Then it would be problematic. V'chotz mayaskinan v'malot. When it comes to filling the water, then mar midideke mamale, umar midideke mamale. Because when you fill the water, you're filling your water, and he's filling his water. So here, Rav Nachman, or at least the Gemara, in the name of Rav Nachman, makes a distinction. Now, for instance, in a courtyard, when you have joint ownership of a courtyard, then anywhere you go in the courtyard is the joint property of both of you. Since that is the case, when you enter into the courtyard, you're in violation of your neder, because you don't say, oh, I'm stepping on my place, not yours. You know, everywhere you walk, that is my place. Now, you don't say that. That's to do with Sugya and the Gemara in the Nidarim, the Mishnah in the Nidarim, towards the end of Nidarim, where the Ran has a big chiddush about this idea of Shutafut and Breira, and why it does work by a joint courtyard versus maybe why it doesn't necessarily work in other places. Where does Breira work? It doesn't work. But here, when you have joint ownership of a courtyard, you can't separate out your ownership, and that's why you're chayav, or violating the neder, or why you can't walk into the chatzer. So the same thing he says, if you swim in a bor, if you jump into the bor and you swim in there, or you take a nice bath in there, you have the same problem. Because you can't say, I'm just using my water when you jump into the bor. You're using everyone's water because you're all over the place and there's no way to separate out the water. On the other hand, when you draw water from the bor, then you could say, there's breira, and the water that I drew is the water that I owned all along, and it's a separate and distinct water. Right, so that's the Ran. The Ran talks about that. He says you have to explain joint ownership of a chatzer differently than other forms of breira. It's the difference between owning 100% of 50% or 50% of the 100%, which is we jointly own everything versus that we each own 100% of our individual ownership. So that's the distinction the Ran makes in the Darim, just pointing it out, because that's the distinction really being made over here, which is that when you jump in to swim or to bathe in the bor, you have the same problem. Which is you can't separate out which water, you know, I only swam in my water, I only bathed in my water. That's not the case. You bathed in the entirety of what was there, and you used everything, or you can't separate out your ownership in that case. When you draw the water, then you can make it separate and distinct, and over there, that's what Rav Nachman says, I think that there's breira, and you drew the water that belongs to you. So you drew out the water that was your water, and that's why it wouldn't be a problem for a person who is asur ba'ana'ah, because he took out his own water. So that's how Rav Nachman answers the problem from Nidarim. Now we have a separate problem, which is, v'savar Rav Nachman yesh breira. Since when does Rav Nachman hold that there is a din of breira? V'atanan, we have a Mishnah. Achim ashutafim, achim, brothers who are partners. Kishi chayavim b'kalbon, if they're chayav to pay kalbon, then p'turim mimaser be'ima. Then they're exempt from maser be'ima. Ukishi chayavim b'maser be'ima. When they're obligated in Maser Behema, Paturim Mina Kalbon. Then they're Paturim Mina Kalbon. You might remember this from Shkalim. Now, a Kalbon is an extra small coin that is added on to the Machatzita Shekel. There is a Machloket as to whether you pay Kalbon every time you give it a Machatzita Shekel, or only when you pay two Machatzita Shekel in a single Shekel. Instead of bringing a Machatzita Shekel, you bring a full Shekel, and either you get change back, or you're paying on behalf of two people. Then you have to give a kalbon. That's a machloket. That's when the kalbon is. Rashi over here actually goes with the opinion that you pay a kalbon all the time. So no matter when you give a machatzita shekel, you always have to give a kalbon. Then in addition to that, if you then file jointly with someone else, which means that you're given a full shekel, two people come along and they say, listen, we're going to give a full shekel between us and we'll hand that in. So then you're getting two chatzi shekels, then you have to give an additional kalbon. So according to the way Rashi is explaining, you have to give two kalbon in that time instead of one. Whereas if you brought it yourself, you'd only bring one kalbon when you do the machatzita shekel. There are exceptions to that rule. The exceptions to that rule are when you're paying on behalf of someone else. If you're paying on behalf of someone else, then you can make a claim that it's all your money and you don't have to pay the kalbon. For instance, a father who's paying on behalf of his sons or of his children, if he gives in a full shekel, he does not have to pay the kalbon, or at least the second kalbon according to the way Rashi is explaining it. Or if you think there was no kalbon, you don't have to give any kalbon in that case, because you're paying on behalf of someone else, and someone else who doesn't necessarily have to give in a machatzita shekel. So the fact that you're doing it is out of your own generosity. Whereas if you're a partners, two partners that get together, and they go ahead and they give machatzit a shekel together, because out of their partnership they pay a shekel, they will have to give kalbon, because they're really separate owners that are trying to pay together because of their partnership. That's the difference. Now, achim, brothers. Brothers, when they inherit their father's estate, when they inherit their father's estate, they can do one of two things. They can divide the estate and then rejoin as partners, or they can keep the estate intact and basically say that the estate is a singular entity that still exists, as if, like, their father's still alive, almost as if it's an LLC or a corporation of sorts, where it's its own unit, independent of the owners itself. So that's the question at hand here. The next thing you need to know is that by Meiser Be'ema, if you are partners in Meiser Be'ema, you're patur. The babies that are born from that are not chayav in Meiser Be'ema. Whereas, if you're a single owner, then you have to pay Meiser Be'ema. So now, the case here is, achim, brothers, who, let's say for instance, did not divide up the estate. They keep the estate intact. If they keep the estate intact, then they are not partners, they are a single entity. They're a single entity, then with regards to Meiser Be'ema, they're going to be chayav, because now there is single ownership of the Be'ema, and if it has babies, then in that case, you would have to pay the Meiser Be'ema. On the other hand, when it comes to Machatzit Shekel, there, if they give a single shekel for both of them, they don't have to pay the Kalbon, because they are not two independent entities getting together. They're a single entity paying on behalf of both of them, and therefore, you don't have to pay the Kalbon. In the opposite form, which is, if they divided the estate and then re-pooled their assets, now they are joint owners, they are partners. If they are partners, then by Meiser Be'ema, they're patur. If the animals that they own have babies, they're patur for Meiser Be'ema. On the other hand, when it comes to kalbon, when it comes to paying for the machatzit shekel, since when they pay together now, they're really two partners paying together, then you would have to pay the kalbon. So that's exactly what the Mishnah says, that when you have kalbon, you don't have Meiser Be'ema. When you have Meiser Be'ema, you don't have kalbon, because the two are mutually exclusive. One is about being separate owners, and one is about being single owners. And so therefore, you'll get the opposite effect, depending on whether they're single owners or separate owners. Yeah, because it's written in singular. Meiser Be'ema is written in the singular. It's really written by Bechor. But since Bechor, it's not relevant, because in Bamidbar, it's written in the plural. So we know even owners, joint owners, have to pay for Bechor, have to give a Bechor. Therefore, they move it over to Meiser Be'ema, and they say Meiser Be'ema, since the Lashon is singular, the Cha, therefore, only when it's your singular ownership are you Chayav in Meiser Be'ema, not when there is joint ownership. Right? Now the Gemara says, so far we don't have anything about Rav Nachman, we're just talking about a Mishnah so far, but now we have a qualification of the Mishnah. That when the brothers divided the estate and then repooled their assets, that's only true when they divide up the estate by taking the goats versus the tleh, and the tleh versus the goats. Meaning that they split the estate not on a like-for-like basis, but basically on monetary value. They assess values and then they divided up the estate so that it's not you get 50% of every item there and I get 50% of any item there. But just say, look, the entirety value of the estate is this, and now we're going to divide it 50%. That means that we're not getting offsetting items necessarily. We're just getting value against value. Aval, chalku gidayim keneged gidayim, utzlayim keneged tleim. But on the other hand, if you take a goat versus a goat, and a tleh versus a tleh, a lamb versus a lamb, then omer zehu chalko amagiyo mishar rishona lekach. So then we say that they basically breira, that the estate really was never divided, because this is what belonged to him, derech Yerusha. Yerusha says, you get half, I get half. And because of that Yerusha, therefore it divides up in this manner. And that's the way it was originally. So it's as if you never split the estate, because the estate by itself would have given you these items. And all I did was, I just separated out the items that were already technically separated by the Yerusha. Even if you divide evenly like this, we don't say that this was what you were supposed to get all along. Or basically what Rav Nachman is saying is, no breira. There is no breira over here. What Rav Anan says is, because of the nature of the Yerusha, that was your ownership all the way along. It's as if you never divided the estate. Since you never divided the estate, it has the shame Yerusha in it. That's as Rashi says. V'dayin shem yoshim aleihem. Uchashechazru v'nishtatfu chazratz kisat abayadim koma. It's as if the Yerusha, nothing happened. When you go and say, you take a D, I take a D, and then we come back and we say, well, the Gdiyim are together again, it's as if we never divided the estate, because the estate by definition was divided, and when we just made a physical division, and then we re-pulled them, it's as if nothing happened. That's the way Rav Hanan looks. Whereas Rav Nachman says there's no Breira, and therefore when you split it up, it's as if you're doing a monetary exchange, and you are the Kuchim. You are as if you are buyers one from the other, rather than being Yerusha, or continuation of the estate. So therefore, there's a difference between Lokeach and Yoresh. Rav Hanan views them as Yoresh when they divide that way, whereas Rav Nachman views them as being Lochim, which has a Nafkamina, like when the Yovel comes around. In the Yovel, if they're classified as Lochim, then they have to re-pool their assets every Yovel, at least with regards to the land, and they have to then re-divide the land every Yovel. On the other hand, if you view them as Yorshim, then it becomes an Achuzah. An Achuzah does not have to be re-divided on the Yovel, it doesn't go back on the Yovel. Ella, the Gemara says, Dekuli Alma, Beira Dev Kerahi. Alright, you got us. Rav Nachman doesn't hold the Breira, so this whole idea of Shutafin doesn't work here by the Bor of Olei Bavel. Therefore, everybody must believe that it's a bear of hefker. So now, v'hocha b'magbia mitziyah lechaviro kamiflegei. They're arguing about lifting up a mitziyah for your friend. Mar sever kana, mar sever lo kana. One says you are kone, one says you are not kone. That is not the original girsa of the Gemarot. That is the girsa of Rashi in the Gemarot. The reason that Rashi changed the girsa in the Gemarot is because Rav Nachman appears in the Gemara in Bava Metzia. This is a full-fledged sugya in the Gemara in Bava Metzia, which is you're sitting there and you say, see a Metzia. Something left out on a hefker, Metzia out on the ground, and you send your friend and say, can you pick it up for me? Take that Metzia for me. So now, in that scenario where he picks it up for his friend, if he comes and brings it back to his friend, and then the friend gets it, so Reuven sends Shimon to get the Metzia, Shimon picks up the Metzia, hands it to Reuven, and then after he hands it to Reuven, he says, you know what? I was kone for myself before I gave it to you. Over there, he didn't say anything, because it's in the possession of Reuven already. The fact that he didn't say anything, we don't worry about it. On the other hand, if Reuven sends Shimon to pick it up, Shimon picks it up and says, it's mine. I keep it.
Finders keepers.
Right. Finders keepers, it's mine now. That's the question there. Hamagbia mitzia lichaveiro. You pick up a mitzia for your friend. Who is kone? Is the shaleach, the sender kone? Or is the Nishlach is the one who was sent to pick it up. Is he koneh? Can he override the shlichut that he has? That's a machloket there. Rav Nachman says that when you send someone to pick up a metziah for you, they're not koneh on your behalf. It doesn't work. Now, over here, if you left the girsa intact before was, ha-magbia metziah lechaviro, kamiflegei, mar sever kana chaviro, or mar sever lo kana chaviro. One says that his friend is koneh, one says his friend is not koneh. Well, who would that be? Rav Nachman before said that it's koreglei mishnit malulo. It's like the one who you filled for, which would mean that Yisholeach is koneh. That's against his position in the Gemara in Bava Metzia. So you have a stira between his position here and the position in the Gemara in Bava Metzia. So Rashi says that can't be the girsa. Rashi wipes out the word in Chaveirot. That's what you see here. Marsever kana, marsever lo kana. Rashi wipes out that girsa and says over here that the question is, the Kuli Alma, everybody says, Vokana Chaveiro, Bagbato. When the Nishlach picks it up for the Shaleach certainly doesn't get it. Because that's what he has to say in order to keep Rav Nachman consistent. So then what is the question here? Elim Kanaha Magbiam Lokana Plige. The question is, the Magbi himself, is he Koneh? Well, Machlok is what Rav Nachman says, that no, if he doesn't think to be Koneh, if he doesn't have anything in mind, then he's not Koneh. On the other hand, Rav Sheshet said he's automatically koneh. He was magbia it. It's hefker. He gets it. It's automatically his, whether he likes it or he doesn't like it. That's a question in general about kinyanim. Can kinyanim happen even though you don't want them? Now, it's true that if you object to a kinyan, you can opt out of a kinyan. You can say, I'm not koneh. But over here, where he makes no declaration, and seemingly he's taking it for the other party, what does that mean? And so over here, Rav Nachman says, nothing happened because you never intended to be koneh. Therefore, basically, it remains hefker until it reaches the party who you're bringing it to. On the other hand, Rachel says, the other party's not koneh, so somebody has to be koneh. That means that you're koneh when you take it out. And now when you pass it to the other individual, it was yours giving to him, and therefore it takes on the tchum of the individual who drew it. That's the way Rashi explains it. Tosafot is very upset about that. He has a number of questions on Rashi, including that he changed the girsa. That's not the girsa in the Gemara. Why did he go ahead and change the girsa? Make it work. Tosafot comes up with two answers. He says, Dochekhu l'kod girsat ha-sfarim. He says, I don't want to erase the sfarim. Vod, ein sfarad of sheshet shikneach magbiya v'lo mitkavein. The second problem you have with Rashi is, how come you have an unintentional kinyan over here? He picked it up. He has no intention to be konet. So how do you have an unintentional kinyan? The whole idea of kinyan is that you have gemira tadat, that it's yours. Here, you have nothing in mind. You didn't have any intent to take possession, and it happens automatically. So that's why Tosafot doesn't like Rashi's explanation. Therefore, l'cheni rala Rashbam, l'fereish yesh l'shev gisat asfarim. Let's leave the girsa intact. And what are you going to do about the skira in Rav Nachman now? So the Rashbam says, because there's a difference. There's a difference between the case of Mitzia and the case over here. Shemnavi tofes the balchov b'makom shechav le'achirim, da'achirim lo yimtzu ha'mitzia achar kach. In the case of Baba Mitzia, when you pick it up to the benefit of a party and to the detriment of everyone else. Because as soon as you take that Mitzia, nobody else can pick up the Mitzia. You basically be taking a lock on it and nobody else can get it. So that's why, over there, you can't benefit one party at the detriment of another party, and that's why the shlichut doesn't work. The shlichut doesn't work because you're allowed to be zoche for Adam, shalom b'fanav. You can do something to the benefit of a party, shalom b'fanav, or on behalf of an individual, you can take a schut. But that's not true where it's the detriment of another party. By the mitziah, it's the benefit of your shaleach, but the detriment to everybody else, because nobody else can find it now. By the boor, the Rashbam says it's not the case. By the boor, after you fill the water, there's still water left for everyone else. So therefore, it's zochim shelo b'fanav, or zochim on behalf of someone else. But makom shelo chav da'achirim. It's not to the detriment of anybody else, because there's plenty of water in there. So there's plenty of water in there, nobody else was inconvenienced or hurt by that, and you can be kone on behalf of someone else. So he divides. He says, Rav Nachman over here say you can be kone for your friend, because over here it's only a zechut, there is no chuvah. Whereas by mitziah, you cannot be kone for your friend, because over there, it's to the benefit of the shaleach, but to the detriment of everyone else, and therefore the shlichut doesn't work in that case to form the kinyan. That's the way the Rashbam suggests that Rav Nachman will have a different opinion over here. The Rabbeinu Tam also says that we should keep the girsa intact. They're brothers, both grandchildren of Rashi, brothers. He says that the difference is here. So now it's the opposite of what we thought. Rav Sheshit says that when you're magbia mitzia for your friend gets it. It works. It works. Well, if it works, then what does Rav Sheshit over here say? It's karagle hamimale, like the one who drew it. You said that when you take something for someone else, it works. He says, you know why it works? When you take it out from your friend? Is because, demigo, dezochi lenafshe, dezochi nami lechavre. Since you have an ability to be konet for yourself, you can also be konet for your friend. The fact that you have the ability to take it for yourself now is what grants you the ability to take it on behalf of your friend. So how is it working here? Ho ba'ati mikocho. The intermediary, through him, is how the whole kinyan is happening. So by kinyanim, it may not matter, because the fact that you can do it, just because it comes through your facilitating, doesn't make it yours. On the other hand, by tchumim, it does matter. The fact that you facilitated it, it's through your koach that it's done, that makes the tchum like your tchum. On the other hand, Rav Nachman believes, lo kana chaveiro. When you draw it on behalf of your friend, you are not successful at doing that. Since you're not successful at doing that, now it remains hefker. You picked it up, you thought you were doing a kinyan for your friend, it doesn't work. So now you're left with nothing. You didn't make a kinyan for yourself, you didn't make a kinyan for your friend, it remains hefker. Now, when you give it to your friend, how did he get it? He got it from hefker. When he got it from hefker, you had nothing to do with that. You didn't facilitate it, because it remained hefker all along. And that's why its din is like the tchum of the one who receives it, not like the filler, not like the drawer of the water. So that's why the Rashbam, the Rabbeinu Tam, who keep the girsa intact, and say that Rav Nachman can have the shita here and the shita there. Rabbeinu Tam says it's basically the same shita in both places, but explains why it's different here, the din, than over there. Rashbam says it's different shita of Rav Nachman, because over here the din is different, because it's a different situation. Because it's a different situation, the din is different here according to Rav Nachman. You do have the Rabbeinu Chanano, who says the easiest answer here, Rav Nachman changed his mind. And that's why he has a different din over here. So that's how he deals with it. All right, we'll stop over here. Well.